This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
To talk the Miles stuff, to talk the Browns and free agency, our next guest wrote a free agent signing piece for every one of the 32 teams. He had the Browns signing Kirk Cousins, who as of yet is yet to be released by the Atlanta Falcons, to talk about that. The current signings we've seen, Miles Garrett. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Well, first off, does anybody do the Mike Jones, who Mike Jones bit with you? Or are we the only ones enough to think about that?
Did it get phased out, Mike? I know it had to have been prominent at some point in your life, but not anymore?
I've never heard what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Neither did our producer. I made a joke.
No. He's joking with you. He's being sarcastic.
Oh. Yeah. I also speak fluent
like
sarcasm.
Every radio station, you know, a couple NFL players. I mean, yeah.
Mike, I was going to tell you that it's a great sign that our producer is 23 years old. When Nick made the joke earlier today through text, had no idea what he was talking about, which means you can almost reclaim your name again. Give it like 10 more years.
I'm almost there. But I won't complain because it's like the one time a year the Lamar Jackson clip surfaces like once a year, and it's one day out of the year that my kids think that I'm cool. So, you know, I'll take it for one day out of the year.
We'll take the wins when we get them. Mike, your free agency prediction for the Browns, as I said in the open there, is Kirk Cousins. How likely do you actually think it'll be that Kirk gets cut by the Falcons?
You know, I thought that it probably would have happened by now already, but they have not done it yet. I don't know if they're holding out, hoping that somebody will trade, maybe somebody who misses out on their free agent quarterback target, and then they have their eye on them. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for them to keep him either. So it still could happen. But it's something that would like to see. You know, you kind of play like fantasy free agency, and that's a move that would make sense, but we're still watching and waiting to see if they actually pull that trigger.
I mean, it seems like everyone in the world, including Miles Garrett, has talked about the Browns needing a quarterback. If it's not Kirk Cousins, is Russell Wilson in play for the Browns?
Possibly. I think that they had to have shared what their plan was, not only just to open up the checkbook, but also for Miles Garrett to feel good about signing that extension beyond just the $40 million, but to know that, okay, we've got a plan in place at quarterback and we're going to be able to compete. So we'll see where it takes them. They've got to find somebody. Obviously, Darnold's gone. Justin Fields is gone now. And so we'll see. Russell Wilson, he's okay. I don't see him as a guy that's going to make a big difference at this stage in his career. His mobility is not what it was. And throwing across the middle is not something that he does extremely well when he's just got to sit back there in the pocket. And so I don't know that I would really hitch my wagons to Russell Wilson.
Mike, just to circle back to Kirk Cousins, do you view him as a short-term bridge quarterback, or more than maybe a one season, you know, 2 to 3 seasons bridge quarterback option for the Browns?
I think that he could be more than one season. It just depends on, okay, do they draft somebody this year? And is that kid going to be ready next year? It looks like either one of the top two quarterbacks are going to need a little bit of time. So I think it would make sense. I mean, this team was competitive, made it to the playoffs with Joe Flacco. I think Kirk Cousins is better than Joe Flacco. So if they were to get him, I think they could compete. And then you just see either if you wait and draft somebody next year, see where their level of competency is, and then make your decision from there.
Mike, it kind of sounded like you were insinuating you think that Miles didn't do this just solely for the money, and that you believe potentially there was a plan in place, and that's why Miles agreed to sign the $40 million a year deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he's in the prime of his career. He's got all the money that he needs. He wants to be able to compete. He wants to contend, and I think he wants to do it in Cleveland. Yes, they took care of him financially, but I think that he has to feel good about where they're going, and that he's not just wasting, you know, these prime years on a squad that's going nowhere. And so that's why I think that, okay, yeah, he signed the contract and gets paid, but there had to be some good motivation as well.
Mike Jones on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Did the Browns maybe help themselves in the way they're viewed around the NFL? For one, Jimmy Haslam did not interject at the request of Myles Garrett for a meeting, and so he didn't go around Andrew Berry. And two, just in general, the Browns, at least in Cleveland, are viewed as the winners of this because they didn't trade Miles, and he's the one that kind of gave up.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I talked to some people around the league who had a good pulse on that situation, and they led me to believe that he was not going to be traded, that they were going to work something out. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, they do get this thing worked out, and I think that it is encouraging for Browns fans that they're not going to be looking at a fire sale here, that they have a team that is investing. The owner's willing to invest the money. Their GM and their head coach are still trying to keep this thing intact. And so we'll see. And, yes, around the league, obviously, look, you took care of one of the top pass rushers in the league, if not the top pass rusher. And so that signals that, okay, we are not just, you know, tanking or playing for better draft picks for next year. We're trying to hold this thing together and do it for the long term so we can win.
Do you feel like any of this impacts the Browns at number 2 overall in the draft?
Well, I mean, I think that it depends on what happens here with free agency. If they find a way to get a veteran quarterback coming out of here, then you've got some flexibility at that spot. So you don't have to take a quarterback if you don't love him. You could get another position. You could trade down. You know, it gives you some options. But the fact that they're taking care of their veterans, it just signals to me, again, if they get a veteran quarterback, then you can think, okay, they've got a chance to compete because we've seen them do it. You know, even though they were piecing things together and had to bring a guy off the street, they still were competitive. They've got a good core in place, and so they're keeping that core.
You mentioned that guy they brought off the street. Joe Flacco has been tied to the Browns. Do you think Flacco 2.0 is a winning plan by the Cleveland Browns?
I don't know. You know, it looked like the last time we saw Joe Flacco, you know, not in Cleveland, you know, after the year after that, I don't know if the effectiveness is quite as much there. Obviously, Father Time creeps up, and so I don't know that I would go that way again when you have younger guys that are, you know, a little more effective, a little more athletic that you could go with. I think that Joe Flacco served them well for the time they needed him, but I'd look for other options.
Do you think the Browns will look at bringing back Nick Chubb? I know they're going to let him test the free agency waters, but do you feel ultimately he'll return as a Brown?
I think so. It's a guy that is important to them. I don't know that, you know, while he's a quality back, you know, he's coming off of injuries, he might be worth more to the Browns than some other team right now.
All right, Mike, we got two big quarterback dominoes that have fallen today. Sam Darnold to Seattle, Justin Fields to the Jets. Which one of these moves do you like more for the teams in question?
I don't think either one of them really. I mean, getting Sam Darnold, I'm not saying that he's going to turn back into a pumpkin, but you took him from a situation where he was throwing to one of the best wide receivers in the history of the game, and they had other weapons all around him as well, strong run game and all that, and then you're putting him in a Seattle offense where you just traded away DK Metcalf, you have an aging Lockett, and you know who else are you going to throw to? That, and you're paying him $36 million a year. That's just a whole lot of pressure. Justin Fields, I felt like the best move for him would be to stay in Pittsburgh and try to benefit from the continuity there. Now, he did get $30 million guaranteed, so maybe that was too rich a price tag for the Steelers. So, hey, good for him that he gets paid and gets the opportunity to continue to rebuild his career. But the constant change, he had multiple offensive coordinators in Chicago. He had 1 year with the Steelers, and now he's going to be learning an offense all over again in New York. I don't know if it's a great recipe for success for him.
If it's Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers, do they end up becoming the first playoff win for Mike Tomlin in 7 years?
I don't think so. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I feel like, is pretty much done. And, you know, I asked, you know, a number of people around the league, and a lot of people didn't really view many spots around the league as a good fit for Aaron Rodgers. And so, look, yes, they got DK Metcalf, so that helps. We got to see what they do about Najee Harris or another running back in free agency. You know, he likes to sling the ball around. Mike Tomlin wants to be conservative, run the football, you know, and then take a couple shots downfield. I just don't know that Arthur Smith's type of offense is going to be the offense that suits Aaron Rodgers well. And also, I just, you know, we see a little decline from him. I don't see that making the Steelers better than the Ravens or, you know, the Bengals, or I don't know if it even makes them better than the Browns. I just feel like, you know, Aaron Rodgers of old is not the same guy that we're seeing right now.
Mike, really good stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of insanity for today.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Mike Jones there of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A little more breaking news coming in here as the Cardinals are signing Eagles edge Josh Sweat on a 4-year, $41 million guaranteed deal. More on legal tampering and more on one of the things that I disagree with that Mike just had to say about a situation in the AFC North. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. What the Myles Garrett re-signing the contract extension means for the Browns and how they're viewed around the NFL.
Was his hot pocket done?
I didn't know if that was, he was just.
What was that?
Well, because every time you see, like, they're showing Pelissero and Ian Rappaport on the NFL Network, you'll just see him look down and you know something happened.
Oh, you think that was a Mike Jones just got some sort of info or some sort of.
Yeah.
That's a bad job by me for not giving Mike Jones the Schefter and Pelissero treatment. Where now I saw a clip actually in between the break. I think it was Schefter and Field Yates. And then in both parts of the segment, they walked off the set and took phone calls.
See, so what's funny about that is when I heard the ding, I was like, hey, remember to ask him about that. See if we got some breaking news we could share on air.
They're like, what was that ding? It'd be really sad, though, if he turned around and was like, really, guys, my soup is ready.
Hey, well, the problem is I forgot to ding check him. I didn't ding check classic, him, so now we don't know.
Classic ding check.
Classic, classic, classic. Well, okay. So I'll give some credence to this idea.
Okay.
All right? And we also have you know, thoughts out there that Miles is going to help recruit some free agents, which I'd love to hear that pitch. Hey, you'll love it as long as they give you $40 million a year. Is that what it is?
I mean, yeah, I don't understand the idea that Miles can just go on this free agency tour. What's he going to do? Who is he going to convince?
I like,
but
that,
on top of it, who's he actually recruiting?
I like that Miles went from at the combine, at the Super Bowl Radio Row, was like, man, a lot of people trying to get at me. The Eagles players, Detroit players. And now he's like, now he's the one doing the recruiting?
Yeah.
How would you like that turnabout if you're whatever player it is? It's like, hey, remember when I said I wanted you to come get me? I'm just kidding.
Are you telling me the Browns are in line for Aiden Hutchinson? Because they took photos together at that gala?
Jared Goff, too. I don't sleep on it.
Yeah, why not, right?
They talked at a gala.
Hey, little do you know, Nick, clearly they were. That was Miles pitching them on the Browns, not them pitching Miles on the Lions.
That's true.
This is how we're going to reframe all of this.
This actually was this whole bit of shenanigans.
One big ruse for Miles to talk to all the teams that matter.
It was Miles. Miles just did this to legally. He's here to save Cleveland.
Wow, what a loyal and great teammate.
Yeah, that's what people say about Miles Garrett.
Can't hear it enough over the past 24 hours.
Incredibly loyal.
Has this actually, though, on a serious note, has this actually hurt your relationship with Miles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Me too.
Yeah, like,
I don't love that.
He's still a great player, but, guys, I don't care that he wanted paid. I want him paid. Like, I think if anything, Cleveland is a town where if you play hard and the team hardballs with you money-wise, we're going to say, get your head out of your ass, pay him.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, Nick Chubb wasn't great last year, all right? He wasn't healthy. When he was healthy, he was the least productive he's ever been in his career. And we still have been like, hey, pay this guy. I don't want to see him in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we want you to get paid. We want you to have an abundant harvest financially. But when you come out and say, and specifically in December, when you come out and say, hey, I'm a leader of this team, and I got to make sure that they're going to do the right things. I got to lead this team the right way. And then when you come out repeatedly, right, both in the written statement the week after the Senior Bowl, and then on Radio Row, and then you have your agent rebut a report that this is all about money. Was it a week ago?
Yeah.
When you do that and you say it's not about money, and then it's clearly about money, there's nothing else that changed. There's nothing else it could have been about than money for him. So then, yes, you get your money. And yes, we'll still cheer for you. But what you lost along the way was a bit of my respect. And I don't know that's the kind of respect you can earn back when we already have leadership and cultural issues that maybe you are or aren't a part of in the first place.
Yeah, like I'm trying to figure out for myself personally how long I'm going to hold this against Miles. You know, I get over things very easy. I think it's a flaw that I have in life is I don't hold many grudges.
I don't think that's a flaw. I think that's healthy.
Is that healthy? I just get over things incredibly quick is all it is.
I come from a family where everybody holds grudges. As long, my uncle passed away having like 40-year-old grudges.
Really?
And I was like, dude, really?
You could do pretty heinous things to me.
You're still upset about that?
Yeah, I'd find a way to forgive you in a very quick way. That's just kind of how I operate. And so
that's noted.
I'm dying. Yeah, no, it's true. And I'm dying to figure out how long it'll take me to be like, you know what, Miles? You did what you had to do, and I'm just happy that you're a Brown. And I can tell 24 hours later. I mean, I was mad yesterday when I found out the news that it was just all about the money. But 24 hours later, I'm like, I'm happy he's a Brown. And then I think 3 months from now, I'll have an easy idea of everything that went down. And I think I'll be okay.
So for what you've said, it's not just about Miles making this good. I'm not going to give that away now because we're going to continue on talking about Miles throughout the rest of this show. But to me, it's like Miles just doing what Miles has done is great. That's not enough to get over this situation. But as we continue on with free agency frenzy, legal tampering, whatever the hell we're going to call about this.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers is a report by Jeff Howe, also of The Athletic, saying Aaron Rodgers still has suitors, calling the Giants a suitor, calling the Steelers suitors, teasing that there might be others out there. I would totally pay Aaron Rodgers to keep him away from Pittsburgh. One, I think he's the best remaining quarterback on the open market. And two, I don't want Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh at all.
So you'd be happy if he goes to the Giants, basically, then you just don't have to worry about him ever again.
Yes, would love that.
Yeah, I do too. There's a part of me that is scared by Aaron Rodgers, even though I don't believe in anything the Steelers do offensively. They didn't take advantage of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields with their arm at all. There's a lot I just think stinks about the Steelers and that organization, what they would try to even do with Aaron Rodgers, but I don't want Aaron Rodgers to go there.
So it's interesting. I think people are judging Aaron Rodgers based off of about the first 8 games of last year.
Instead of the last 9?
And the fact that he's a knob.
You know what's interesting? Like, I think it's the fact that he's a knob that bothers people the most.
Absolutely.
Like, we got over it with Jordan Love. Jordan Love stunk for 2 months of football and then was great for the last 9 his rookie season, and everyone was able to rewrite the history there. Now, maybe it's because Aaron Rodgers was playing for nothing at that point that we can't really attach ourselves to it. But I almost looked at that as more impressive, the idea that he had his whole coaching staff fired and then he somehow got better.
Yeah, he had his hand-picked offensive coordinator fired. And, oh, by the way, apparently wasn't on speaking terms with his best receiver. And he put up four of his five best games.
You mean Rodgers had a toxic relationship in his life?
I'm very surprised as
well. Very surprised that would happen.
But I think Aaron Rodgers is proof that, like, over the last 4 years, for different reasons, like, it's wild to see how many different reasons Aaron Rodgers is unlikable for people. Whether it's him not playing up to his contract, whether it's the McAfee stuff, whether it's the opinions on vaccines and getting the jab, whatever it is. Oh, his personal life.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ayahuasca, there's a myriad of reasons to not like him. But people are talking about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson as if they're the same guy. It's like, no. Russell Wilson got actively worse as he played last year. Yeah. And let's be real, real clear. Russ's numbers were inflated by the go ball. He had one big play.
The moon ball, as we call it.
The Steelers would run it. And then one out of every seven or eight plays, he'd just chuck the ball 20 yards up in the air.
And then Pickens would do most of the work.
Yeah. That's not what Rodgers did. Like, Rodgers is still, and I know he's not as mobile as he once was, an Achilles injury at 38. That dude still is a very well-versed quarterback who does not solely rely on his legs like Russ did for most of his time. Aaron's an incredibly cerebral quarterback.
Nick, the Steelers had the first-hand experience with Russell Wilson last year, and they're telling you they don't want to do it again.
Also, another bit of breaking news here, as defensive tackle Grady Jarrett has signed a 3-year, $43 million deal with the Bears. That feels like
they're spending like drunken sailors in Chicago.
That feels like paying for past performance right there.
They're spending everywhere.
They are.
You notice how Ben Johnson, though, quickly on the offensive and defensive lines.
Specifically on the O-line. As a matter of fact, later in the show, we're going to talk about our favorite signings. The Bears actually have it as of right now. I'm loath to give the Bears credit. I will, coming up later in the show. But specific to the Rodgers thing, yeah, I think people want Rodgers to be washed more than they're actually convinced he is washed.
Listen, I didn't like Aaron Rodgers with the Jets in the slightest bit. There'd be nothing more satisfying than him going to the Steelers and then me getting to actively root against Aaron Rodgers in that way. That would be so much fun for me. It would stink if he's good. But if he's actually washed and done and can't play anymore and they handcuff him in that offense, we're going to have a great time as Browns fans.
Well, and I think, I think what's fascinating about Aaron from last year is you can pick apart and find stats to support that he's totally washed, and you can pick apart stats and find stats that say there's still something there.
For sure.
All I'm going to say is he was still a pretty decent stat, at least on the traditional stats. He was still pretty decent in the worst possible context. Pittsburgh is not. Like, Pittsburgh, he will have DK Metcalf. He will have the best defense he's had since, I want to say, 2 or 3 years out in Green Bay. And I don't think he's washed. I think people are conflating. I think people want him to be washed. I don't think he is.
Yeah,
I don't want him there.
They still have the same issue that the Jets had, where they didn't give him any sort of offensive line help. But they would have to instantly help out that offensive line.
Well, I think they're betting on Broderick Jones and their first-round pick from this last year actually improving at tackle, because one is healthy and the other is actually moving to his natural position. I don't know if that's a good plan, because traditionally it hasn't been with the Steelers the last 15 years, but they might have upgraded while subtracting Dan Moore, who I don't think was very good in the first place. 216-474-0092. I guess this is a two-parter. Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers. You actually want that to happen? And two, did Miles step across a line? Or have you already forgiven Miles? More from you guys in 5 minutes. And the Peterlin pass on 92.3 The Fan. Maybe the Browns, totally. They called him some point. We're like, we're going to give you the whole shebang. We're going to tell you everything we're going to do. Wishful thinking. He thought about it. Maybe just realized he didn't have a stomach for a holdout. and maybe realize this really was all about money in the first place.
You think that's what it was in like the last 48 hours or so? He just kind of came to the realization that he wasn't going to win that battle?
No.
Like, there's a part of me that wonders. Okay, so you disagree. There's a part of me that wonders if when he was saying that, he genuinely did mean it and it wasn't just solely about the money. He thought he could have his cake and eat it too. He thought he was going to be able to get it all. He'd get the $40 million a year deal while also being in another team's uniform. Like, I will always play with that idea that was the A option for Myles Garrett.
See, the problem is this is not just going on since the Super Bowl. It's not just going on since the Senior Bowl. It's going on from the end of last year.
Right.
And Myles' messaging, this is, I believe, the fourth change in messaging. First it was, I have to do this for leadership. Then it was, I need to see the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was, I've seen the plan and it's great. And Hard Knocks.
Should that have been the crack in the entire, in the unraveling of all of this? Is when he flip-flopped and then they went on Hard Knocks and he said that everything was copacetic and everything was awesome, that he could easily be swayed?
I mean, any of the times Myles has said things and then didn't back it up in the last 7 years probably could have been moments where, you know, talking about leadership and then not maybe being the best leader, maybe not being a leader. And again, there's a difference there. Like, I think Myles is naturally a good leader. I think the same thing about Kevin Stefanski. That's not a knock, but then don't come out and say, I'm taking on more of a leadership role. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But then we had the trade request, and then we had, I'm vehement in this, and then there was a reiteration of this a week ago. I just think in the end, maybe Myles got bored with it. Maybe Myles wanted, I don't know. I just think that Myles now looks like a pretty significant not truth teller. I guess $40 million is the miracle ointment for that.
I mean, it's something I told you, I feel like months ago, though, was the idea that he just kind of goes with the wind. And maybe that's just what happened here as well. It's how he's always been. He's always been this way.
And I think kudos to the Browns. They saw that. We're going to get to the Peterlin pass here in just a moment. Yeah. But Frank in Gates Mills, welcome to the show.
How does Myles not think about the fact that he is going to tell Cleveland he wants to leave and the impact that would have to him as a player and all the fans? That's the part that it makes absolutely no sense, other than it's all about the money. And unfortunately, he's painted himself into a picture that I don't think he can ever recover from.
But I think he would have got the money from somewhere else. That's where I really do. There's a part of me that just believes that Myles, at the time when he was saying this, believed it. And he came to realize that they weren't going to budge.
But what did he believe? I mean, he didn't have to say that he wanted to leave Cleveland. He could have done it behind the scenes. He went public with it.
Yeah, Frank, I feel like he believed that the Browns didn't have a plan. I feel like he believed that the Browns didn't have a quarterback, which as of right now, we don't know their plan, and they don't have a quarterback.
So, Frank.
And that hasn't in his mind, that hasn't changed. His mind, I guarantee he still thinks the Browns don't have a plan and that they don't have a quarterback. I mean, what could have possibly changed from the time he said that and told Cleveland he didn't want to be here till now?
Frank, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much. Him getting paid is not what bugs me. And I want to continue to make this point, because I'm not just going to be another person on the radio screaming about this. What frustrates me is you saying one thing, being about one thing, and then clearly being about something else. When you say this is about winning, when you say this is about legacy, there should be no amount of money. There should be no amount of pressure that moves you off of that. And I think this isn't just media. A lot of people in town really gave you the leeway to be like, all right, Myles, we believe you and we understand, because if we could opt out of this crap, we probably would too.
Yeah, well, no, we like hearing that, Nick. Like, the kid in us likes hearing that someone wants to play for the love of the game and they want to play for what the heart of the game really is, which is you want to win on a big stage and not just the money, you know? Like, I think the 10-year-old in all of us loves that messaging and we can always get behind that messaging.
Joe DeLeon coming up in about 10 minutes, but let's get to the Peterlin pass.
There's only one man with the knowledge to criticize and the power to let it slide. It's time for this week's Peterlin pass.
All right, I'm gonna give the Peterlin pass this week to the Raiders for nabbing Geno Smith. On the surface of it, you think to yourself, they got nowhere closer to actually winning anything of consequence, and you're not wrong there. But a third round pick for a quarterback that was top five in completion percentage last year, top five in passing yards last season as well, when Pete Carroll is near mid-70, they had to get something in order, and they finally at least have the quarterback situation figured out. I want to rip them and say you should have held firm in your pursuit of Shedeur Sanders. Tom Brady should have held firm with the idea that he had to make the jump up to go ahead and draft one of these quarterbacks. It was too rich for their blood. And are they going to spend the next couple years winning probably 8, 9, 10 games somewhere in that area? While, by the way, in a division that is with a very good quarterback in Bo Nix, an extremely generational quarterback in Justin Herbert, and one of the all-time greats in Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, it's going to be tough. There's no denying that. But at least they won't be a 3-4-5 win mystery.
Yeah, I think this at least solidifies your floor to being that 7-8 win team going forward, even in that division. Remember, because they have 7 playoff spots now, all teams in your division can win. And it's not, I mean, all right, yeah, the Chargers had a winning season. Do it again, because they really haven't done that with Justin Herbert. Okay, Bo Nix looked really good last year. Do it again. He was a rookie quarterback. So I like the move. And here's the other thing. I actually think it puts him in a perfect position where if Shedeur does fall to 7,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden you can have your cake and eat it too, because if I remember correctly, the Raiders did have an extra third round pick this year because of the Davante Adams deal. So you still have 3 picks in the top 100. You can still take a quarterback at 7 if the right guy falls to you. I think it's a really smart deal. And as a matter of fact, much like every other move that I've seen, where I'm like, oh, that's what that guy cost. I was a little bummed the Browns weren't in on Geno Smith for a third-round pick.
Well, and so that's where I thought there was a little bit of foul play. And I'm not saying that Geno Smith is Luka Doncic, so don't confuse the two. But it did have drip of Nico Harrison vibes. The idea that John Schneider, the president of football operations, the GM for the Seahawks, for the entire stretch of Pete Carroll being there, they won titles together, they won Super Bowls together. All of a sudden, Geno wasn't on the market, but then he was on the market for, I don't know, Pete Carroll. It felt a little fishy to me. It felt very Nico Harrison only calling the Lakers and the Lakers alone. Like, did you really get the best deal you could in that instance for Geno Smith? A third-round pick?
I wonder, 34-year-old quarterback, they heard we'll give you a third-round pick. I wonder if they just ran and said, we're going to take this while it's on the table.
Listen, I think they wanted out of the Geno Smith business. Clearly, they wanted out of the Geno Smith business.
And
They had their eyes on Sam Darnold. But as far as the trade partner was concerned and giving them for basically a bag of footballs, in my opinion, I feel like we'll do you this solid Schneider to Pete Carroll right there.
I actually think, I'll second your Peterlin pass for the Raiders for the Geno trade. I don't think this was one you're going to regret, even if Geno doesn't work out. It makes sense up front. And the only thing you might, if you give him 45 a year, that might be the thing you actually regret in all this. But again, even if you then draft Shedeur with your first round pick, that's the ultimate protection against having to bite that money if Geno doesn't work out. I'll give a Peterlin pass to the Seahawks as well. You get a third round pick for Geno. You avoid paying Geno more money than you'd pay Sam Darnold. You got Sam for a bit of a song at $55 million guaranteed.
And you go younger.
And you got, 7 years younger?
Yeah. Again, although I don't know how much of an old Geno Smith is at 34 years old, because he was backed up so many different quarterbacks and he wasn't actually playing. So I'd look at Geno more like a...
It'd be really funny if
like
Geno...
a 31 or 32-year-old.
It'd be really funny if Geno was just like a consistently good top 12, top 13 quarterback until it was like 40. Because he just played no meaningful football in between like 2016 and like 4 years ago.
I could see it. By the way, I looked up earlier his numbers versus Justin Herbert's numbers in the previous like 3 seasons. Identical.
So what you're telling me is...
Identical. It's odd. It's odd.
That Geno Smith is better than Justin Herbert. You just heard Jonathan Peterlin say that.
Identical. Identical, which means as good identical as Justin Herbert in the 3 years. They can't see you do the hand motion. They can't see you do the hand motion.
Okay, don't just say hand motion. It's from my cousin Vinny. Good Lord. Put me on blast on that one. 216-47.
You just tried to make me say Geno Smith and Justin Herbert are the same person.
Identical.
The Peterlin Pass.
It's got a Righteous Gemstones vibe to it when you do it.
I just really got into that this weekend. It's going well. Joe DeLeon, NFL draft and college football analyst, reacts to the Myles Garrett re-signing. And how does this impact the Browns at 2? Or does it? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.